Hallelujah. Father, we worship you for every living soul that is here tonight and those that will be listening via the website and days ahead when this goes up. Father, we pray that what comes out of here will be a permeation of your grace and your glory, your strength and your life. And to those that are listening here in this building and those that will be listening across the state and around the world, wherever they're at, whatever continent they're on and wherever place that they're listening, Father, as they begin to hear these words, and even in this prayer, Lord, we speak life to them. We speak the healing power of God. And Father, I just believe that someone very far away will be hearing these words over the next few weeks, and that they will reach out in a moment where the necessity of the healing of their body or their emotions or something that, Lord, is just very tragic in their life. Lord, we speak to that moment in their life, you knowing the future. And I pray that as they reach out into these words, that God is alive and the Lord is a living Lord. And God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Father, we speak life into their being and hope into their future in the precious name of Jesus. They will recover. I say to you, whosoever hears this, you will recover. And you will come forth in the precious name of Jesus. Be healed. Be restored. Let the manifestation of His grace rest upon you, both now and ever in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for these blessings in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, men. And if you guys will please help me. Hallelujah. Give me just a moment to extract my word here, and we'll get ready to go into the word. Hallelujah, all of you that made it and are blessed here on a Wednesday night. I heard a message or part of a message. I didn't hear the message. I won't say that. I heard part of it. It was so good. Somebody were calling you ites. How many of you remember that? Some of the people that weren't here that were in Tulsa are looking at me strange. What's ites? But you'll have to get Wednesday's message from 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, or was it last Wednesday? It was really good. Hallelujah. And survivites, people that not only have survived, but have come through and are victorious. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. So in a moment, I'll just pray, but why don't you go ahead and start turning with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go through a number of scriptures tonight and read some stuff that I believe will encourage you and give us wisdom and direction for the days ahead and help us with our families and help us with our futures and in everything that we're going forward in for revival and God's best in our life. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, I love you. And I love these, your children, my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for the grace of God that is upon us. I thank you for it. I ask now that your Spirit would lead and guide me, direct me. I relax upon you. I recline upon you. I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. I thought I heard most of you. When I was a kid growing up, and I really did have a wonderful father, and I appreciate it so much, and he's still such a wonderful man, loves the Lord. For most of my childhood, my dad was saved. I think he probably was saved when I was, maybe even before I was a teenager. And I was saved at 11, so I think I can't remember exactly. I didn't stop to think about it prior to this, but early in life, but he was always a good man, really a good father. And but I remember certain times, and maybe some of you will relate to this, there were times that that he would say certain things that was appropriate for the moment and was not out of order in his love for me. And I can't remember exactly the particular circumstances, but my mind, there's a memory etched inside of me of these particular situations. And situations like, oh, say for instance, he would be doing something and he would be fixing something like a father should around the house, or maybe he would be working on a car or one of his cars, trying to fix it. And of course, because I loved Daddy and I was there, I would do what a lot of little kids that, you know, like to be close to their parents would do, is I would just be right underfoot. And, you know, and he'd reach for, you know, he'd be trying to fix something. He'd reach for a wrench, or he'd reach for a screwdriver. And, you know, I'd be there to where he couldn't get done what he was trying to do. And it happened on a number of occasions. And he wouldn't be mean. And, you know, he wouldn't slam me or anything. But a lot of times he would just say, son, you're in the way. How many have ever heard that growing up? Honey, you're in the way. Now, mama loves you, but you need to get out of the way. And that's an appropriate response. I mean, you can lovingly tell them, you know, you're in my way right now. I love you, but Daddy's got to get this done. And you're in a position where you're keeping me from getting something accomplished. And on that, I want to launch something, and I want us to understand some of the things that you probably already know, but put it in a much more deeper, detailed understanding according to the Word of God and according to the disposition of our Heavenly Father. So if you turned already with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we're going to start looking in verse 11. And the Word says here, and this was Jesus speaking, he said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Did you catch that? He gave to both his sons, even though it was the younger son that was asking for his portion. 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, in today's terminology, that would be partying. That would be living it up. That would be letting loose. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. Now, when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to Jews, so it really made an impression on them for him to be using an analogy to say that this man's life had diminished so far that he was having to feed swine, because for the Jews, you did not touch swine, you did not eat swine, you did not have anything to do with swine. And so this young man, if they are the ones sitting there listening, they realize that his life has been totally debilitized. It has come down, or demoralized. It had come down to a real, real low. 16 says, and he would fain, the word fain means to desire, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh into the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he said one to one of the servants, and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, or that's a lamb, that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, that's prostitutes, so you know what kind of life he had been living, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, that's the older son, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was necessary or meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, we read that whole thing, and of course to many of you that's a very familiar story and parable that Jesus spoke concerning what is typically called the prodigal son. And there's a lot of different things to be taught out of. There are a lot of different things. But the direction that we want to go tonight, along with other scriptures that we will use, goes back to verse 16, in which we really need to highlight. And the word says, he would fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Based on what we saw at the end of this parable, and I'm going to ask some very, like, rhetorical questions, of which there's an obvious answer. Once he showed up to the father's house, did the father still love him? Absolutely. These are not trick questions. They'll be obvious. Did he love him? Oh, beyond measure. If he had that love when he met him, how many of you suppose that he had that love in the duration while he was gone? He loved him just as much. It was not just the euphoria of seeing him. He loved him with an everlasting love, so much so that when he saw him afar off, I mean, he's looking, and we could go on and on and on, and there's so many different things to say in the possibilities of this parable, but we have an assignment, so we can't go into every inroad. But looking afar off depicts the fact that he must have been looking for him daily. He must have been searching for him daily. His heart must have been like, I got a son out there that's lost. I've got a son out there that's dead to me because he's not living like I have taught him. The amazing part is we get the story of where this son was at and what kind of living that he was enjoying at the time, until it come to a place where he had spent his entire fortune. He joined himself to a citizen of that land. We just read the story. He sends him out to feed the swine. And the Bible says there is something very key, and you've heard, many of you have heard this before and understand this particular principle to a degree, but more and more we'll understand it tonight. The Bible says, and no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him during that particular time in his life. The man that had hired him sent him out to feed the swine. I don't know the duration of how long this guy could have been out there, but he spent his money on other people. It wasn't just harlots. I'm sure he had friends that he spent his time with, and he spent money with them. But when it came down to it, there was nobody there, and nobody gave to him. But the reason why that nobody gave to him, and the reason why his father did not even send an emissary, somebody to go over there and look for him and make sure, because his heart loved him just like it always did, because there was a plan of God in it. Because the boy's rescue, his reconciliation, had everything to do, was predicated on the fact that the word says that he came to himself. He got to a place where he said, I am lost. I have squandered everything. If I don't go back, see, he did not go back. When he really repented, he realized, I've got to repent for all. I've got to go back, not as one that is demanding rights. I go back as one as saying, Father, I just take me as a hired servant. Just take me in as someone that will just be able to serve you. And the father said, no, you mean far more to me than that. But nevertheless, the whole thing in this boy's recovery is that God is teaching in part there this message that many times the recovery of our loved ones, many times the going forward in the next step of God's plan and a purpose in a person's life is that you leave them alone until God gets done with them what he wants to get done. If you do something, if you get in daddy's way because you've got the means to do it and because you've got the heart to do it, daddy at home had the means to do it and he had the heart to do it and he had all the anything that he needed to do to go make sure, hey, go see about my boy, and I know there's a famine over there because I've heard about it, I've read about it. I don't know why. I know when he left here his head wasn't on straight, so no telling what he's done with his money. Go find him, and if he doesn't have enough and if he's not eating right and if he's not on good nutritious diet, sit, tell him daddy's footing is, you know, daddy's helping him out. That would have not only prolonged his stay, it very well could have sent him to hell. Pulling your hands back and working with the Holy Spirit is so absolutely important. And I'm not just talking to parents here. I'm talking about to the church at large. How important it is for us to work with the Holy Spirit. Human compassion, when it's derived out of mental energy, human compassion, when it's derived out of, I've got the goods to do it, so why don't I just go ahead and do it? When you say, well, here's a need. The slogan of some people is, see a need, meet the need. I don't believe in that. I say, see a need, listen to the Father, and meet the need according to. Because if they are in a state where God is asking them to trust Him and come to a place where they really realize, wait a minute, I'm in a mess. Mama can't help me, daddy can't help me, pastor can't help me unless I reconcile to God. He's the only one that can help me. My friend takes me fishing every once in a while. He's taught me a lot of stuff in the last year. He's taught me to let those fish wear themselves out. You bring a fish too green into the boat and you got a mess. You put your hand on somebody's life before they're ready and you've got a mess. Hallelujah. We stay in the plan of God. We stay in where God wants us to be because that's vitally important. Otherwise, we can do more harm than good. Don't get in daddy's way. Don't get in daddy's way, okay? Let's turn to another portion of Scripture. John, the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. John, the 10th chapter, verse 31. And this is quite a bit of reading here, but we're early in the service, so this is good. Amen. Verse 31 of John 10 says this, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, you'll need to remember that in just a moment. that they took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many works or good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these good works do you stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, because he escaped out of their hand. And he went again beyond Jordan into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there." Now a certain man sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And when he heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he unto his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou therefore again?" Remember that when we started out reading, they were about to stone him, and they were going to try to execute him that way. And his disciples are reminding him that. And Jesus answered in verse 9, he says this, "Are there not 12 hours in a day, If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world, of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." And then he goes on, and we'll read that 11 through 15 in just a moment. So here's the picture. Jesus is in this place. They're ready to stone him. Jesus leaves, and he goes into another place. And while he is there in that place, there's people that come to tell him from Mary and Martha. They sent one of their servants probably and said, "The man," and I like, it's amazing how they said, the one you love is sick. He's sick. They wanted him to come right then. And yet the Bible says that he abode still after that 2 days. And during the time that he was waiting, Lazarus died. Do you know, it's so important, absolutely important, to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's so important to walk in the Holy Spirit because your future depends on it. When things are presented to you, when possible acts of compassion are presented to you, not only for your future, but for the future of others. Now, he abode yet 2 days. And the Bible says that they said to him, he said, "Let us go into Judea again. We're going to go back over there." And they reminded him, his disciples reminded him, "Don't you remember when we were over there? They were ready to stone you." And Jesus said this. He said, there's 12 hours of light in a day. If any man will walk in that light, he won't stumble. What he was saying was this, I'm walking in the light of the wisdom of my father. And my father's wisdom, as long as I remain in that wisdom, then I understand this, the coast is clear. I can go back over there now. If I was walking in darkness, then I would be stumbling. I would not know which way to go. He says, I'm working with my Father, I'm working with light, and I'm walking in that light, and as a result of, I know I can go back over there. Now, as we go on from 11 to 15, it says, and these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spake of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake. He didn't say for his sake. Now, if he'd have been there, he'd have kept him from dying if he'd have been in that moment. But the Holy Spirit was like, no, don't go. See, people that don't walk in peace and don't live in the moment of listening to the Holy Spirit in light, they will think if you don't move, when you ask them, when they come to you and present, sometimes they'll think, my God, what's wrong with you? Don't you love me? Don't you have compassion on me? See, Jesus didn't do anything. But he answered why he didn't do anything later. He says, I'm walking in the light. Had I gone over there before I'm telling you it's time to go, they probably would have stoned him. Or he would have put his life in jeopardy. See, it was destined that he die on a cross. Any other martyrdom would not have been sufficed. Jesus had to be stretched out. All prophecy said he would be stretched out on a tree between heaven and earth and give his life. Satan wanted his martyrdom before the time of crucifixion to take place. And Jesus said, look, the Spirit has bade me stay here. Now, what do you think that Mary and Martha and them thought? I can tell you what they thought if we read just a little bit further. The very first thing that came out of Mary's mouth or Martha's mouth when she saw him was the thing that she had been thinking of. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have been here, if you'd have come when we asked you to, my brother would not have died. Well, we know the rest of the story. We know that he raised him up. And the sickness was to the glory of God. And he said, I'm glad for your sake, not for Lazarus' sake, but for your sake, disciples, that you see this. But here's the deal. You can get in the... let me say it like this. Peace and leadership of the Holy Spirit does not have the same... It does not work on the same time clock of everything else. Compassion is always there for people. You'll always, if someone comes to you, God will always give you the wisdom, the plan, the anointing. But do not move at their speed. Do not move at their speed. Move at the speed and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you stand a perfectly good chance of standing in the place. See, we need to get out of the way so we can get in the way. Did you hear that? Sometimes we got to get out of the way because a lot of times we'll think, there's something that just came. I got to do this. And see, people will accuse you as, I'm not just talking about pastors, they'll accuse you as a person, as a mother, as a father, as a friend, as someone else, that their whole life can be in a mess. And then they present it to you and they want you to fix it now. Well, you can be a part of that fixing, but you do not have to move in the way in which they think is necessary for you to be a part in their solution. You must move with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, is this the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Jesus was the most compassionate person on the planet. He was love with legs. And yet, when they came to him, you got to go. You got to go. Your best friend. No, I'm just going to stay here. What? No, I can't go. I can't go. See, the day and hour is that we are such under such leadership of the Holy Spirit is that we move with the Holy Ghost and not with the anxiousness that the enemy or people or anything around us would dictate to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me also to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 4. Are you getting anything out of this? I am. Thank you, Jesus. The Mark's Gospel, if we had time, we'd go into it. This is the sower sows the word, and Jesus had preached all day about the parable of sowing the word, and with many other parables he taught them. And we're going to look around verse 33, because this after he comes down to the end of his teaching, and it says in verse 33 of Mark's Gospel, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when it was evening, or when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side." Now, he preached all day, okay, and with many other parables he had taught them. "And when evening had come, he said unto them, Let us go to the other side." Now, you've heard many messages on this, possibly. Maybe I've preached it, maybe Homer's preached it, maybe others have preached it, but it is nevertheless a truth and bears all the time repeating. If Jesus said, "We're going to the other side," he meant we're going to the other side. And that's the plain and simple truth. And that was the word of God. That was the rhema at that moment. Let us go to the other side. Now, it would not have mattered if there had been four USS aircraft carriers sitting between him and the other side, eight nuclear submarines, all of Russia's naval. It would not have mattered if it had been sitting on the Sea of Galilee, if he said, "We're going on the other side," and they're all saying, "No, we're going to keep you from going to the other side." They would have gone to the other side. Because he said, "We're going to the other side. Let us go to the other side." And he had taught them all day. The people and his disciples had been hearing the word. They'd been hearing parables about the word and how strong the word was and how important it was to them. And he said again, verse 35, "Let us go, let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Present tense, get this picture. They took him even as he was. If you meditate this, you have to derive and come to this place that Jesus was physically wore out. He lived his life as a human being. He's God in the flesh, but he lived, I don't know how that works, how God can lay down his power and work through. That's God. But here God is not being God, because Jesus is full human. And he gets tired. And they took him even as he was, meaning as he was, we find that he was asleep in the back of the boat. I mean, the man had gotten so tired from preaching all day from the boat, that he probably just, you know, once he sent them away and once he said, "Let's go to the other side," he immediately reclined and he was lights out. He was gone. Candy says, she tells me, she goes, "I don't know how you do it." I mean, I just say goodnight. We kiss goodnight. And she's like, in the next 2 seconds, I'm snoring, but not too bad. Right, honey? Well, but I can guarantee you, Jesus, I just really feel like meditating this out. They took him as he was. He was asleep. He was asleep. And the Bible says, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. Now get the picture of this. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Everybody say, the ship was full. The ship was full of water. Say that. Okay. Would you like to be in a ship that's full of water? Water's supposed to be on the outside of ships. It's not supposed to be on the inside. And it's okay when there's a little bit, and it's okay when the bilge is pump is working, you know, putting it out. But when it gets to be a foot in the boat, and then when it gets to be a 2 foot in the boat, and when you're wading in the boat, that ain't good. That is not good stuff. And the Bible says that they said unto him, he was asleep in the hinder part of the boat, and they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, well, I'll read it like this to start with. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to the other, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now Jesus said, what? Let us go to the other side. A storm comes. And in the storm, Jesus is asleep. Remember, Jesus already, by one parable or by one incident, they sent to him, you got to come now. No. Well, you incompassionate, don't have no compassion? Kind of non-compassionate person? Don't you know that your best friend is dying? No, I can't go now because I walk in the light. There's 12 hours a day in the light. And my father is saying, don't go now, but I'll go when he says go. And if I go when he says go, it'll be to the glory of God. Now here he preaches all day. He falls asleep. They put him in the back, or he's already in the back of the boat. And he's sailing away with them. And he's already said, go to the other side. And they look back there. And he's doing nothing but sleeping. And when they go back there to awake him, they say to him, they don't just say, Lord, we need help. They say what you hear often, what will take you out of the way of God and put you in the flesh if you don't watch it. Because what religion will say to you and what people will say to you and what the enemy, because believe me, the enemy had caused that storm. And those demons that had caused that storm out there, that principality that had caused that storm out there, he also had imps in the boat saying, he doesn't care for you. He doesn't care for you. Look at him. He's asleep back there. And they just went back there as mimicking the very thing that was in their ear, all those demons. There might have been hundreds of them or thousands of them. And they were just yelling, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. And the thing they did that woke him up with, do you not care? Don't you love us? Don't you love me anymore? Well, he stands up and he proves that he loves him because he says, peace be still. But you know what? You know what he does then? Now, correct me if I'm wrong in just a moment. Give me just a moment to philosophize. Because he's the compassionate Lord. And because he wants everybody to know that he loves them sincerely. He goes to Peter. Peter, you okay, buddy? Not afraid anymore, are you? You know what? You got a little tear there, Peter. You're not afraid anymore, are you? You know what? I would hate ever to be misinterpreted that I didn't love you, Peter. Bartholomew, you okay, bud? You okay? Hey. Oh, sorry. James, you okay? Matthew, you okay? You okay? Hey, Thaddeus, you okay, buddy? You okay? You okay? Good. Man, because I would never want it, because I am the loving Christ, and I would never want you hurt. You're not hurt at me, are you, because I was over there asleep? I wouldn't want you to misinterpret. Did he say that? And he didn't say this either. How is it that you boys don't have faith? why are y'all so fearful? That is not how he said it. It was more in the demeanor. He did not apologize. He didn't check to see if they were offended. He did not check to see if that he needed to prove his love to them. See, that would have been human reasoning. That would have been getting in the way of the Father. Because he had this to say to them, guys, you have no faith. How is it that you have no faith? And years ago, I'd think, well, they couldn't have faith because they weren't born again. Bet me, as Gary says. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Jesus was sincerely angry at them boys. Because even though they had dead spirits, they were accountable for what words they had heard all day long. And he didn't say, I'm so sorry that you might have misinterpreted that I didn't love you because I didn't jump up. And yeah, I was. Did you not know that we were being rocked? And yeah, I liked it. It was kind of cool. I kind of put me to sleep back there. He didn't run over there and, oh, are you okay? You're not offended, are you? How is it that you don't have faith? See, sometimes the worst thing you can do is with human compassion, pity down, and go into a place where you're just going to get in the same place that they're in and not teach them. And I'm not talking about not having compassion. I'm telling you, I'm talking about a place where you stand in the mind of Christ and say, guys, look, you're accountable to have faith. If he said go to the other side, we're not going to wallow in this mess. We're going to get up and go to the other side. Hallelujah to God. Well, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you like another example? Bring it. See, some of you are getting a little different picture of Jesus. Well, I thought he was, yeah, he is. He's the most compassionate person. But his compassion is the kind of compassion that will help you to the other side. It's not the kind that will cause you to squander your life. He's adamant about you making it. And he will not allow you, when he speaks to you, he won't go in human compassion or the kind of compassion that many humans have and try to get down into a place where that the emotions that you are feeling dictates the truth of God. He is the truth that brings you out. He is the truth. Well, I thought he was a loving, compassionate Christ. He is. He is. How many of you wonder what it would have been like the day that you walked by when he was outside the temple in John chapter 2, and he's over there? The Bible says he was, I interpret that he was braiding because he was making a scourge of small cords. He's braiding a cord. John chapter 2. He's putting another, I'm going to pray. What you doing, Jesus? Oh, man, looks like you're making something pretty neat there, huh? You know? Yep. You making a belt or a leash? Nope, 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 nope. Where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going in their church. What church this morning? Yep. What you going to do? I'm going to beat some people. We're going to drive out some, the Bible says they had sheep in there and they had all kinds of dove in there. And then he not only drove them out, they says he drove out the money changers. Hallelujah. See, he's love with legs. But in that case, it was not, thou shalt not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. It's a house of prayer. He'll always take the highest level of compassion and teach us how to go to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter, well, we're already in Mark. Look at 1, chapter 1. This is how Jesus knew how to respond. Because how many of you know sometimes you do have to assure somebody that you do love them? You do. There are times where you have to say, you do know I love you, right? But Jesus didn't on the boat. He didn't patronize the unbelief that those boys had. But how do you know how not to get in the way of the Father, but work with the will of the Father? Because human compassion is poison. It's absolute poison. It will not only destroy your potential to minister to that person, but it can possibly destroy that person's future in God's ability to rescue them out of whatever situation they're going through. Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we'll read into this because there's a number of verses here to get to where I want to go. Verse 23 says, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, inasmuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into a house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick with divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered or allowed not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning," now this is the key verse that I want you to see, "in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek thee." Now the picture there is this, and this is continual reiteration of what we teach here on a consistent basis: prayer and the necessity of prayer, how important it is. And we see the example time and time and time again of the prayer closet of Jesus Christ. He went into Simon's house. His mother-in-law is sick. He heals her. And I can see this. They came to the door. It was getting dark, getting to evening. And they must have, I don't know, I'm just imagining and meditating this. They may have lit lanterns or torches out in front of the house. And people from off the street, maybe as many as they could, get in the house. And maybe he got out on the street. Maybe he ministered to as many as he could in the house and then get out on the street. And they were there much of the night. Much of the night. Sometime during the night, he must have prayed for the last of them, because the Bible says he got up. So he must have laid down. He must have had at least a few hours of sleep. But a great while, I don't know what a great while would have been. 4 o'clock in the morning, a good while, way before, you know, it dawns, he gets up and goes to pray. The whole city had turned out, and he had healed everyone that had come. And, you know, if I would have been in that little revival, that little crusade, or at Peter's house and watched all that, or had I been a part of that, my natural fleshly inclination is this: my God, we did good. Thank you, Father. And that would have been right. And I probably would have been wore out in a good sense of the word. It's a very peaceful kind of wearing out when God uses you to pray for a lot of people. But the Lord knew this: when you're used like that, the next step is to go right back into prayer. Don't Don't just sit on it. He could have laid in bed that morning and said, I'm going to sleep till, noon because I worked all night. But he walked in the light the 12 hours of day. And because he walked in the light on a continual basis, he was in a place where he could continually hear from the Father. And the Father's will was this: get up, son. See, when the Holy Spirit wakes you up in the middle of the night, there's also a grace with it too. There really is. Now, when I wake me up in the middle of the night, there's no grace with that. If I wake up at 2 or 3 or 4, I may have a thought, go pray. But that thought lasts just as long as until the next the next Z, But when it's him, it's like, man, I just feel like I've drank, 4 cups of coffee. I don't know. And you're not worried. You're not anxious, but you're just like, God, do you want me to pray? Duh. get up. It may be just an hour or 30 minutes or 3 or 4 hours. Talk to Marcia. She does it all the time. Talk to Rex. He has to probably feel her get up all the time. But Jesus was walking the light, and he got up and he went and prayed. Now, how does a man make a decision? How does a man make these kind of decisions? When somebody goes, it's your best friend. You got to come now. Got to come now. Otherwise, people are going to think you just don't love me anymore. Or how do you make a decision? Like, instead of getting up and putting your arm around somebody and saying, "Man, I'm sorry you were afraid," sorry. He blessed them out. He told them off. We're not going with that. I'm sorry that you're afraid. You shouldn't have been afraid. I told you not to be afraid. We're going to the other side. How do you walk in that kind of discernment? Because he got up and prayed. Prayer. How many of you have ever heard a message on prayer around here? Now, we've also said in recent days, and it is absolute and it bears repeating, that even if you haven't been praying, you still have the capacity through the new nature to stand against sin. That's an absolute. And the Holy Spirit has to have that to work with for you to get past sin. But I will say this on that footnote, it's a whole lot easier to stand against sin with your new nature when you've been praying rather than when you've been out of prayer. Because the Holy Spirit is the backup of your new nature. He is the enforcer of your new nature. So I'd whole lot rather stand against sin praying. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray, Pastor Dave used to say. Hallelujah. And you can hear the Holy Spirit a whole lot better, his instruction, when you are praying rather than when you're not praying. So pray till you can't pray no more. And then pray some more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida. It says, while he sent away the people. So he told his guys, he told his 12, you guys go get in the ship and I'll send the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain. So there's a disbursement here. The disciples go one way, the people go another way, and Jesus goes another way. He goes up into a mountain to pray. Everybody said Jesus went to pray. Now this comes right on the foot. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. So you can read that later if you haven't read that before. And again, Jesus could have said, "Yeah, wow, this was a good day. Good crusade. I'm just going to sit down on this and relish this for a while." He went right back into prayer. And straightway he constrained him, his disciples, get in the ship, go to the other side. Here again he tells them, go to the other side. You'd think from Mark chapter 4 till now that if he said to go to the other side, we need to go to the other side. Go to the other side into Bethsaida. while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. Now, for him to see them, I studied this out, it had to be supernatural. Based on the hours that they had been gone and where they had been in the sea, he would have had to probably he'd had to see this by word of knowledge or see him in a vision out there. It says here he saw them toiling and rowing, and of course this was at night, so that's another reason why he had to see him in the spirit. And the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch, and I can't remember, I think that's around 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. It's way in the wee hours. In the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw, now let's stop right there. He would have passed by them. Well, I will read the next one. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it to be in a spirit and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. See, they had again, they'd saw the miracles of the loaves, and their heart was hardened. And of course, Satan's fighting them, you know. Abraham could believe God. It wasn't that a dead man's spirit could not believe, it just could not keep morality. It could not keep morality. And of course, our born-again spirits are far more acclimated to believing now because of the new nature that we have in them. But these men had seen the miracles and their hearts were hardened. And the Bible says here, now the neat thing is this, to me, is this. He saw them toiling, and he went to them on the fourth watch of the night. And if somebody knows what that hour is, that's fine. I had looked it up before, but I know it's in the wee hours. The fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. Now listen, that's unique. That is so cool. They are out there. And the Bible says, now he's not doing this. The Bible says he would have passed them by. And he literally was walking, and he was walking on the water. And he would have passed them by. He wasn't out there to come and rescue them. Now he saw them, and he knew that they were in a mess. Because they did not believe what he said. But here's the deal. He said, go to the other side. And he was going to the other side. And the Bible says he literally was walking along. And it's not that he did not know that they were there. He did know that they were there. But he was walking. Now, human compassion would have been like, guys, I'm coming. And yet he told them, go to the other side. And when he got done praying, he was going to the other side. It was just wonderful that he happened to be in the vicinity when he got where they were at. And they're like, oh, there's a spirit. No, it's me, Jesus. Are y'all glad that I'm in the vicinity? Yes. Glory to God. Well, come get in the boat. Come get in the boat. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Does it pay to pray? It pays to pray. Hallelujah. Well, one more, and we'll be out of here before 9. Glory be to God forevermore. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 12. It says this, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Well, we read that because it is absolutely important for us to know that by these three examples that Jesus lived a life of prayer. If he lived a life of prayer, is it important for us to live a life of prayer? And thank God for praying in tongues. Thank God for the mysteries. Thank God for the ability to pray when you're working or when you're driving or when you're cleaning and when you're mad at somebody and when you're happy at somebody or no matter what. Pastor Dave used to say it, and I love my pastor so much, it's fail-proof. Listen, he'd say it like this, "The path to the miracle is just as sovereign as the miracle itself." In other words, just get on the path. Well, somebody said, well, even after you've been on the path, you still got to make the decision. I know that, but you can't get on this path and keep doing it that eventually you won't make the right decision. You will. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Get on the path. Just keep praying in tongues. And if the Holy Spirit has to bring you 1,000 times back around to the mountain to make the right decision or get in line with the will of God, you are inevitably guaranteed this, that you will eventually yield to God, because you cannot pray the mysteries that eventually you will not. You will always line up with the will of God. Glory be to God. Just get on the path. Just get on the path. Well, I'm a mess. Just get on the path. I don't understand all this. Just get on the path. Glory be to God. It'll work. It works. Let me read one psalm to you. Turn there with me. Psalms 103. Follow along with me, because this is His will for your life. Everybody say this, I do not want to get in the way of my Father. So I will get in the way. I'll get in the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His what? Benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and does what? He satisfies thy mouth with good things. How many of you know that the good things that He satisfies your mouth with is positive word confessions? He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the what? The eagles. Listen, the prayers that remain up here, I'm pointing to my head, that's where they remain. The confessions that remain up there, that's where they remain. Prayers are meant to be prayed. Confessions are meant to be spoken. That's how we get in line with the Father. That's how He begins to produce. Well, I've been really, in my mind, I've got a good positive mental attitude towards my health and towards, that's wonderful. But you better get it out on your tongue. You better speak His word, because the word says as we speak His word that He'll renew our youth. And He brings about all these benefits. Would you say amen? The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting unto everlasting, that fear him, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Here again, it's talking about speaking the word. The angels hearken unto the voice. Everybody say the voice of his word. They do not, here's the thing. The angels, it doesn't say the angels hearken to his word. Do you hear that? I mean, do you understand that? If I hold this Bible up, if I put this Bible up to my ear, there's no voice. The voice of this Bible is my voice. What I say, according to his word, angels will begin to respond to. Now, they won't, you know, angel, go do that, and angel, go do this. That, they don't do that. I see a pretty house over there. Angel, go get me that house. They're like, oh, God. Can I have another assignment? I mean, you know, single guy sees a pretty girl. Angel, go get me that girl. That's ignorance gone to seed, as they say. The angel's like, you know, God, please help us. Switch off with it. Tag team with me. Give me another assignment or something. But they find scriptures in his word and say those scriptures because that's the voice of his word concerning your health, concerning your finances, concerning your security, concerning the way of the Lord. That's how we get in the proper way of God and stay out of his way. When we speak his word, when we pray in tongues, when we do those things that are applicable to his word, we give voice to his word. And the Bible says that the angels, they do his commands, hearkening the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his saints, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It says, in all places of his dominion. The Lord does not have dominion over every place presently. Now he is the God of all gods, but if he had all dominion, all war would cease and all famine would cease. But he has dominion where I give him dominion and where you give him dominion. So let's stay in that place where we hear the voice of the Lord and we walk in the 12 hours of the day and not in the night and follow him. So we stay working with the Father and not get in his way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for your goodness and praise you, Lord, for the love of God, the life of God, and Father, for your goodness in this place. Now we ask your blessings upon your people. We ask you to bless them as they go. We thank you for your word and let your word be in our heart as a sharp two-edged sword. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Give somebody a great big hug.